From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 30th day of September 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. This morning, the United States Department of Agriculture National Agricultural Statistics Service released the grain stocks report. It showed a surprise for the corn and the beans. We'll take those numbers up. And what happened in Chicago with the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. His name, of course, Kurt Kimmel. And then a bit later in the program, Daryl Good will be along with his take of the grain stocks report and what it might mean for the future of corn and bean prices. Along the way, we'll look at the cash grain market and how bases reacted, and we'll do it all during this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by Justin Wood, Paul Stevens, Tim Smith, Scott Harms, and Mark Soderberg of Archer Financial Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm. You can learn more about the services they offer at 800-637-3123.
In Chicago for this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day lower. The nearby December corn at 441.5, down 12.5. The March at 454.5, down 12. And May corn at $4.62.25, 12.25 lower. July of next year at 469, down 12 cents. And December of 2014 at $4.81 a bushel, down 11.25. Beans finished 1282.75. Down 37. January soybeans at 1285, down 36.5. The March at 1267, 31.5 lower. And May soybeans at 1248.5, down 24.75. July 1241.75, 22.75 lower. And November beans of next year, down 19.25 at $11.55. Bean meal futures at $409.90, down $10. Bean oil at $40.83, 68 cents lower. The soft red winter wheat finished the December at 678.5, down 4.5. July at 677, down 7.25. And the hard red at $7.19.25, the only gainer in the whole complex was the wheat. For the hard red, it was up 2.75 for the day. The live cattle futures finished the nearby October contract at 127.85, down 40 cents. December at 10 cents lower, that is, at 131.97.5, and October feeders at 164.10. That's down 2.5 cents. November there up 27.5. at $165.20. October lean hogs on the afternoon, $91.97.5, down 95, and December futures at $86.62.5, $1.50 lower. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, November contract, $102.60 a barrel. That's down 28 cents. The RBOB, our wholesale price of gasoline, at 263.4. That's 0.4 cents lower. And ethanol futures trading at $1.92.5, down 6.5 cents. The difference between the two is now 70.9 cents. That spread is 2.3 cents wider than it was on Friday. Natural gas at $3.56.4, down 2.5 cents. And diesel fuel at $2.97.1, 0.1 cents lower. Gold futures trading $1,326.80 an ounce, down $12.10 at this hour. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Sunny skies, a high of 77 degrees on a south wind at about 9 miles an hour tonight. Mostly clear, a low of 57, south winds at 6 to 8. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny, a high of 83. Southwest winds at 7 to 11, gusting all the way to 15 miles an hour. On Wednesday of this week, we'll see mostly sunny skies and 85 degrees, a south wind at 7 miles an hour, a 30% chance of rainfall and thunderstorms after 1 a.m. on Wednesday evening, mostly cloudy at a low of 63. And Thursday, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy and 79. The showers and thunderstorms will continue right on through Thursday night, mostly cloudy skies and 62. On Friday, the same, partly sunny thereafter, a high of 79 and a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Then again on Friday evening, mostly cloudy and 59. On Saturday, a chance of showers, a few thunderstorms, and then partly sunny skies, a high of 71 degrees. Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low of 44, and Sunday, mostly sunny skies and 64 degrees. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is the 30th day of September 2013. It's USDA Report Day.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
On the phone line with us for a Monday afternoon to take a look at the futures markets, Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Oh, USDA did it again, did they not?
They keep the drama flowing.
Well, this time around, they kept it flowing, and they changed things for both the corn and the soybeans. 824, that's the new ending stocks number the new ending stocks and the last grain stocks report for the year, marketing year, that is, for corn. And then soybeans at 141, both are higher than anybody had expected.
Yeah, I guess the January report's not the final report, and it's becoming more like a financial report, revision after revision or change after change. But the idea was, and Bill Gentry hit it on Commodity Week there, that there would be a bearish surprise if there was a surprise, and it's construed negative. A few more stocks around on the corn. Looks like they're going to probably lower or adjust the feed usage side of the equation to push stocks up to 824. On the bean ledger, coming in and raising harvested acres and looking at a little bit more of the yield up, fine-tuning those numbers to push the estimate up to 141. Not a burdensome amount of stocks carry into this cut new crop year, but just the idea that we had a little bit more supply around, and that the early yields being reported thus far here in the Eastern Corn Belt is better expected, put the market on some sell signals today. But today was the end of the month, end of the quarter, and I think tomorrow, once we look at the volume and open interest, what took place today, that we'll see open interest went down as we saw some liquidation occur today, Todd.
Now that you've seen an 824 million bushel number, do you think you can come up with a way that that actually happened? Was there just enough harvested early on that it was used rather than what was the skimpy number of bushels that was left from last year?
Well, that's the one we're going to have to figure out here, because basically the harvest was later. Ideas are there was maybe 300 million bushels come in from new crop to satisfy old crop or in the channel there to account for that. I don't know if we'll come up with an exact number over time, but we'll see what the next WASDE report shows and sort of look forward from here, because that's basically history now. Now the key is when we look at the next few reports is to see if they keep demand strong and see if we see some adjustments in the overall yield number and harvested acres. There's still a lot more reports in front of us that could possibly be more of a market maker than what we saw today.
Anything today change your idea on the marketing plans you have in place?
Well, I wish I could. I should. I would. Looking back, it just puts a little bit more emphasis on that. A lot of these plans developed during the winter need to be incorporated and stuck with. But no, we're still on target as far as looking at seasonal selling pressure to stay here going into this Columbus Day holiday. This first, second week of October was kind of our benchmark to look for some type of low and some type of reversal action in the corn and bean market. We've continued to, from a marketing point of view, guys have found some early premiums, take advantage of that. Otherwise, we've continued the theme that we've been talking about clear last winter is the put strategy to put a floor under in case this thing seeps lower than what most people thought. And that might be the case here still. I don't know if I'd panic and sell here on this down move, that there's some creative strategy out there to put a floor in place and maybe store this crop into this winter to take advantage in the carry in the corn especially.
It will be interesting. You mentioned the Columbus Day holiday. Of course, that comes on a Monday. The Friday previous to that, though, the October crop production and the October WASDE figures are out. Could that be the turning point?
Well, hopefully it'll all come together, and that would be just textbook perfect on the timing of it. Ideas, you know, the corn carryout could move more up towards that 2 billion bushel benchmark, and that's what the market would need. It'd be confirmation of some bearish news to get a low in place, and even the new crop bean carryout could come up some. That would be ideal to sort of get a turn in here, get the most bearish news in the marketplace at that time, and look for demand to come forward to take advantage of these lower prices.
Tell me just a bit about the soybean market and how it reacted during the day.
Well, it was weak from the get-go. A lot of selling the beans, buying the corn, selling the beans, buying the wheat. Like I mentioned there, you know, end of the quarter, end of the month, I think there was still some unwinding of that spread through the day. Then once the stocks report came out there at 11 o'clock, it was sort of a free fall as we broke support at 13, went down on to the long-term support at 1285, held there for an hour or so. And then as we got into the last hour trade, that sort of gave way there. But the bean market's going to be looking to see if demand comes forward here on this price break, especially from Asia, since they seem to be pretty well advertised that they're booked up here through January at least.
Your expectations for this afternoon's weekly crop progress report numbers?
Not a whole lot of change on crop conditions. It's hard to get improvement this time of year when you see the crop shut down. But for the most part, I would expect corn harvest to be about 17% complete as a nation. Bean may up towards 10%. This week here, we're going to see a big jump, and I think guys are going to be fairly aggressive taking crop out ahead of this rain event here as we get in the last part of the week.
Hogs held up well against the USDA Hogs and Pigs report released Friday afternoon.
Oh, boy, yeah. Friday there, talk of being limit down, and early opening calls here this morning was 100 to 200 points lower. But they absorbed the selling pressure fairly well. I think the trade's just looking long-term in here as we look down the road that overall pork demand is going to pick up. One general observation on these hog and pig reports, I feel our days are numbered on these reports where we see just 1 or 2% change in numbers. I feel the numbers percentage change over the previous year or previous reports going to be much broader than what we've been accustomed to.
Why do you think that'll be the case?
I believe overall demand for pork is going to pick up. And, of course, I still believe strongly that this Asia buyout Smithfield is nothing but bullish. I believe that's pork security for Asia, and that a lot of pork is going to leave this country and go to Asia as we get 3-4 years down the road.
Hey, thanks so much.
Take care.
That's Kirk Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. You can always hear it again at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're joined by Daryl Good, ag economist from the U of I, to take up this morning's grain stocks report. Tell me about the numbers as you saw them come in.
In the case of corn, USDA estimated stocks of old crop corn on September 1 at 824 million bushels, old crop soybean stocks at about 141 million.
Let's take up the 141. USDA did some back figuring to last year's crop for soybeans.
They did. 141 was, 15 to 20 million bushels more than the market was looking for. And USDA did revise their 2012 production number by about 20 million bushels in order to reconcile with the old crop stocks figure as of September 1. So once that adjustment is made, then everything makes sense. The stocks line up with known use during the summer quarter, and this is a fairly common practice that a surprise in the stocks number on September 1 results in a change in the previous year's production number. That happens, and the 20 million bushel change this year is kind of the middle of the road in terms of magnitude of change that we've seen over time.
It doesn't make a whole lot of a difference in the end product because we're still tight of soybeans.
We are tight of soybeans, and so it doesn't change the supply-demand balance for next year very much. The big question is still crop size and how big will the total supply will be for the current marketing year.
Let's stay with that just for a moment. I know it's outside of the grain stocks, but the early numbers, at least for soybeans as they're being harvested for the 2013 crop, have been really, really good.
We're hearing a lot of very high yield reports, particularly in Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio, all the eastern production areas. A bit more mixed as you go west, as you might expect. And a lot of people saying, well, the late maturing beans will not yield as well. And so waiting, you know, to hear those kind of yields. But clearly, the early results are much better than I expected, and I think the market had anticipated. In some cases, you're hearing record yields of soybeans, and that's a bit surprising given the kind of August, early September weather that we had.
I suppose we'll know more once the USDA releases its October update of the WASDE figures.
Certainly we'll get an update, and that should be a pretty good number again this year with much of the crop mature when that survey is done.
Take up the USDA's corn grain stocks report.
Corn, as I said, September 1, stocks of old crop corn at 824 million bushels. That's about 140 million above the average trade guess. It's about 200 million above what I was looking for in this number. Taken at face value, it suggests that summer quarter feed and residual use of corn was extremely small, 100 million bushels less than last summer when we had 1.2 billion bushels of new crop corn harvested before September 1 last year. And so to come in with a number of disappearance that's even smaller than last summer is a real shock, I think. And I think it does say that the 2012 corn crop was larger than currently estimated. USDA did not revise that number. There will be opportunity to revise that in the January report. But historically, USDA does not revise the corn production number based on the September 1 stocks like they do soybeans.
Why is that the case, you suppose?
I think they would argue there's just not enough information. In the case of soybeans, use is pretty well known so that they have enough information that they can reconcile the production to known use and known stocks. In the case of corn, where feed and residual is just in fact, a residual category, then they would argue they don't have really enough information to change the production number to try to make what some would feel would be a reasonable feed and residual disappearance number.
What do you suppose this might mean when you look forward to the crop production number for corn?
Well, I think it's a very bearish new crop corn. I think many of us were expecting to see reduced acreage for new crop corn. When you find 140 million bushels, you've basically found a million acres of corn. So if we do see a smaller acreage number, I think that really takes the steam out of that number. And then you add to that growing evidence that the 2013 yield may be equal to or better than the USDA has forecast. I think it paints a very bearish picture for corn.
Darrell Good, ag economist from the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270. This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Well, on this Monday afternoon, let's check the cash grain market now with the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Amy Sage is on the phone line. Good afternoon to you, Amy.
Good afternoon, Todd.
What do your farmers and the folks there in the office think of this morning's USDA report?
Well, a little bit shocking. Not really anticipating such a big move on today's report. We've really been looking towards the October 11th to give us some more direction. But especially with the bean number coming in within trade guesses, I know it was higher than the average trade guess, but thought 37 cents taken out of it was a little surprising. And with corn not reacting as quickly, with that being actually higher than the average trade guesses, we were a little surprised that didn't react as quickly as what the beans did. Obviously, corn ended the day 12 and a half cents lower, which would have been more in line with what we would have anticipated right at the release.
Did the basis follow down and about the same amount, or did it break more?
Actually, basis has not changed here at the Andersons yet. I'm not saying that won't happen at some point as we continue going forward with harvest. In fact, I would anticipate that happening. We have seen some local processors and some other markets fade today. So I guess that's probably part and due to the report, but also with just harvest progress and seeing more grain come to the market.
And what are your bids on the day?
We are 431, Sepok Novdis corn, January corn 441, fall 2014 451. Cash beans today are 1271, January 1280, fall 14 1125, and cash wheat is 648 today.
Before I let you go, probably a little tough on the beans this morning, although it's starting to dry out. I suppose you're getting some of those in. How have they been?
We are. Beans have been, they've been early, so I don't know how representative it will be, but better than expected yields so far. Average moisture that we've been taking in over the weekend was 11%, actually, even. Average test weight, 57.4.
And corn remains good?
Corn also good. Again, a little bit better than expected. Average moisture, 20.5%. Average test weight, 56.8. We've lightened up on our corn receipts, though, here with some guys switching to beans and waiting on some of the wetter stuff to dry down.
All right. Thanks so much, Amy.
Thank you.
Amy Sage is with the Andersons, joins us here on the closing market report for this Monday afternoon.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
Well, one of the other items that's happening, of course, today is that Washington, D.C. is still in the throes of trying to figure out whether it's going to shut down the government at midnight or not tonight. And that means the USDA's crop production and WASD figures may be in jeopardy. The USDA provided us with this update.
The next big Agriculture Department crop report is scheduled to be released on October 11th. Data collection for that report, surveys of farmers and fields, all going on hot and heavy on Monday.
You know, we're out in the field gathering information from farmers on their expected yields.
Lance Honig with the USDA Statistics Service. He, like a lot of people, were waiting to know if the government would shut down at midnight Monday. Up to that point, though, farmers will continue to be surveyed. Also, fields being surveyed, samples taken of various crops.
Our enumerators should be gathering pretty much the last of those samples from the field, so that should all be gathered.
But those samples have to be sent to labs for testing, labs that would not be open to do the testing if the government is shut down. So there was a lot of activity Monday going on, and Honig told us,
obviously, if we need to, you know, slow that down and if things stop for a day or two, then we'll pick it back up when we're able to do that again. So we'll just have to evaluate that as things unfold in the next few days.
In Washington, Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
And our thanks to Gary Crawford and USDA for that update. Back in just a couple of minutes with the weather forecast.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
It's National Mulled Cider Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1861, William Wrigley Jr. was born. An American salesman and manufacturer, he started out as a traveling salesman at the age of 13, selling soap for his father's company. At age 30, he left his father's soap factory and moved to Chicago, where he began manufacturing soap and including free baking powder as an incentive. When baking powder proved more popular than soap, he switched to offering baking powder with chewing gum as an incentive. And then you guessed it, the chewing gum proved widely popular, and Wrigley's Chewing Gum was born. In 1958, pie plates being sailed around among employees at the Frisbee Baking Company at Yale University became the inspiration for the Whammo Standby. In 1962, the United Farm Workers Union was founded by Cesar Chavez. And in 2004, California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger signed into law a bill that bans the production and sale of foie gras. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media, you can always find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. There we post all of our agricultural programming, from the opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between. This is Illinois Public Media. Let's check now in on the weather forecast. Drew Lerner has his look.
West will likely see good harvest weather for the first part of this week, with very little precipitation of significance expected today or tomorrow. As we move to tomorrow night, though, and into Wednesday, some shower and thunderstorm activity is expected to evolve. Most of this precipitation will be focused on Missouri and Illinois, and as time moves on into late Wednesday and into Thursday, we're going to see a warm front develop across portions of Iowa and northern Illinois into northern Indiana, and the frontal system will lift to the northeast and likely generate some more shower and thunderstorm activity, but this time it'll be probably a little bit better organized and maybe a little bit more intense. We'll look for a quarter to three-quarters of an inch of rain. Maybe some local totals getting up over an inch will be possible, and again, this will be from eastern Iowa into northern Indiana and northward into Michigan. Now, the showers and thunderstorms occur late tomorrow night into Wednesday across Illinois and Missouri will be random, mostly light, but we could see some half inch to maybe even an isolated three-quarter inch amount in a couple of spots. I just don't think the precipitation will be very well distributed initially. The moisture will hang on in that area, but once the warm front forms and lifts to the northeast, it should diminish some of the rain in Missouri and southern portions of Illinois. Now, there will be a strong low-pressure center that will be forming in the northern U.S. plains as we go into Thursday and Friday. Actually, it begins on Wednesday. And this low-pressure center is going to become very intense. It'll produce a lot of wind across the northern plains, and it will then also create some significant rainfall across parts of the Dakotas and from there to the northeast through portions of Minnesota into northern Wisconsin and eventually into Ontario, Canada. The storm system is expected to produce some 1 to 2.5 inch rains, and this is on top of some areas that got some significant rain over the weekend. Areas from central Nebraska to northwestern Minnesota saw some 1 to 2 inch rainfall over this past weekend. It'll be relatively dry in these areas these next couple of days, but more rain later this week on top of that, which has already occurred, is likely to cause greater amounts of delay in some farming activity across the region. The frontal boundary associated with this storm system I just mentioned is not going to be all that impressive when it comes through the Midwest. This storm system will be very deep, a very strong low pressure center, and a lot of times we occlude the fronts in these systems and we end up with just a limited amount of rainfall cutting through the Midwest, and I think that'll be the situation again. Parts of Kansas and Missouri, southeastern Nebraska and southwestern Iowa may not get any rain out of this whole event, and the same may be true for some areas in eastern Kentucky and some areas in portions of Ohio as well. Rainfall in between, we'll probably see another tenth to five-tenths of an inch of rain, maybe something a little bit greater. But remember, there is that warm front that will be lying across portions of eastern Iowa, northern Illinois, northern Indiana, and Michigan during midweek this week that will produce some significant rainfall and offer some delays to field work. Temperatures are going to be above average across the Midwest this week. We're expecting to see the high temperatures initially starting off running in the 70s and 80s. In fact, we'll see that dominate a big part of the region with the exception of the Great Lakes region today where some 60s will occur. But those 70s and 80s will likely prevail all the way into Thursday and Friday of this week. Cooler air will come in behind the bigger storm system over the weekend. We'll look for highs coming back into the 50s and 60s in the northwestern part of the Corn Belt, while we'll likely see readings further further to the southeast of cooling down to the mostly 70s. Low temperatures at night could get cool enough for a little bit of frost to develop in the northwestern portions of the Corn Belt at the end of this week or early into the weekend.
And our thanks go to Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City for his update of the growing region's marketplace and weather. I'm Todd Gleason. That's the closing market report.